This is Digging Your Own Grave, written by Drasna and read by Flower Parish. This is a supernatural fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Dean Winchester / reader. You'd scoped out the library for Dean and Jack a couple hours ago. Harper Sales had a smile that took up half her face in greeting. You filled out an application for a library card with your fake Nebraska license in order to get some intel on this bad luck charm of a librarian. Now, you're waiting in Dick's Red Rooster Diner while Jack swoops into the library to save Harper from the big bad FBI man that is Dean Winchester. To pass the time, you sip on a raspberry iced tea and relish a cinnamon roll while flipping through a spicy Nora Roberts novel you also checked out. You'll pop it into the drop slot tonight. You don't need the specter of an overdue library book haunting your 2 a.m. thoughts for years to come. With a book fanned out in front of your face, you don't notice Dean sat across from you until he clears his throat. He looks miserable. Totally fuckable, but miserable. What happened? You peek out of the picture window. Where's Jack? Dean rolls his eyes. Playing hero like we planned. He grabs the cinnamon roll off your plate and stuffs half of it into his mouth and chews in a deliberate, deep-in-thought, slow motion. You frown at the sad state of affairs that is your significant other and also at the loss of your treat. That's good. He wanted to help on the case and he's doing his bit. You wait a beat. Right? Dean swallows, then washes it down with some of your iced tea. He called me an old man. Your hand holding the book flops to the tabletop with a thud that rattles the silverware. You stare at him while he stares back at you with those apple green eyes. He waits with those crow's feet you love to trace with the tip of your finger when he sleeps, with etchings of furrowed forehead from years of contemplation and worry, with those perfect lips that aren't quite as pouty as they used to be, with that one gray hair poking out atop his head of spiked strands. What's funny about that? Dean asks in irritation. You realize, too late, that you've been grinning. Dean, he was probably just acting, you know, pointing out the obvious age. You clamp your lips shut. Dean's eyes widen and he straightens in the chair. I mean, it's Jack. He's still learning the nuances of language. You try and salvage what you can. His brow quirks up. He's not the only one. You're about to fire something back when Dean's attention shoots to the window. You follow his lead. Jack and Harper are on the sidewalk outside the library. There's another man talking to them before they part ways. Son of a bitch did it, Dean mutters. I'll follow them. He stands. You, he points at the linoleum by your feet, stay here. Dean, I don't need a walker or a chaperone. And I don't want to have to worry about you getting in trouble. If I need you, I'll press my life alert button. Be careful. He nods and manages a sort of smile. You've stayed quiet since Dean called you to drive Baby to the back alley behind the library. Vance's body was stuffed in the trunk by Dean, even though Jack offered to help. Vance's body was being pulled out of the trunk by Dean, even though Jack offered to help, and carried to the open grave by Dean. Dean tossed Jack a proverbial bone with the shovel when Vance was safe and sound, coffin lid creaking shut. Dig. Jack was downright giddy to shovel piles of graveyard dirt over what would now be Vance's, hopefully, final resting place. The stake through the heart should ensure Harper's zombie boyfriend stays good and buried. You haven't lifted a finger in the cemetery, mainly because Dean hasn't let you. You've kept careful watch over Jack and Dean and surveyed the surrounding pitch black for any danger. Harper Sales sailed away and you don't want any happy returns. You should feel more at ease with Dean joining you by Baby's trunk. But you can sense he's still prickly. He's breathing deeply in and out through his nose. He's trying to hide the exhaustion and exertion of the entire ordeal. He stands next to you, shoulder to shoulder. He's got your six, staring behind you as you survey Jack's shoveling form in front of you in the lantern light. He's chuckling and tossing dirt in hyperdrive mode. Jack, You whisper yell, and his head whips in your direction, his bangs following a second later. Bend at the knees. He nods and smiles, offering a thumbs up before taking your suggestion and getting back to work. Kid doesn't need to worry about his joints. He's not an old man. Dean's comment drips with sarcasm. Never too early to learn proper form. You counter and look up to side-eye Dean. He stares down at you briefly, his mouth quirks up in a grin that lightens your heart. It's quiet except for crickets and the cylindrical sounds of Jack's shovel slicing into soft earth and the subsequent splatter atop the coffin lid. You muster the courage to speak. Dean, you're not old. I mean, if you're old, then that means I'm old, and I am in no way, shape, or form ready to admit that. Dean hums to let you know he's listening. If anything, you're just older, you know? A seasoned hunter, someone that Jack looks up to, wants to emulate, because of how much you know, how much good you've done. And besides, you know what they say, with age comes. Your words are cut off by Dean's lips, pressing with force against your mouth. You moan at how warm he feels, even with the chill in the air. He breaks off sooner than you'd like. He's smiling, guarding your back at your side. You feel your brows scrunch together. Did you just kiss me to shut me up? He tilts his head, not looking at you, only offering his achingly beautiful profile. No? You chuckle. Way to sound convincing. Then why? He shrugs. You should be kissed, and often, and by someone who knows how. He lifts a brow and glances at you. And that, my dear, only comes from experience. The end.